Welcome back. You're listening to The Healthy Aging Show, and we are talking with Connecticut Radio Information Service.
Also known as Chris Radio.
Known as Chris Radio, and we're talking with Diane Dunn and Tom Grassi.
Diane, you have one of the smallest staffs, I think, in comparison to the number of actual volunteers and members of the Chris Radio group. No, well, the ratio is very small of the number of employees that you have. So what the impact of your operation out here throughout Connecticut appears that you would have thousands of people working as opposed to the number that you have. So do you want to talk about your volunteers and how you're organized?
Sure. I mean, several other radio reading services, they have about 10 employees. We actually have two full-time employees, myself and my operations manager, and a part-time programming director, part-time accountant that comes in only a few hours a week, and we have a part-time engineer, and that's it. But we have 400 wonderful volunteers, and obviously that number fluctuates from time to time between 350 to 400, but we've been very blessed to have a number of very, very dedicated volunteers, including, I don't know if you've heard of Jim McPherson, but he's been here for 30 years. He was actually the reader at our first broadcast in 1979.
Yes, he's quite well known.
Right, right. And he actually was doing live news this morning for us. He just walked out and said goodbye, but he's been, and we have a number of people who have been here for many, many years. Joanne Nesty from Channel 30 has been here for many years, I think 28 years. We have, you know, people that are not in TV and radio. Mary Jo Martin from Norwalk. We have Jim Parker from, I believe he's in the greater Hartford area. He's 25 years. Mary Jo's 20 years. And it's not unusual to find people 5, 10 years. For example, Tom's been with the organization for 30 years in one capacity or another. So we the volunteers are really what helps us.
Now, you've stated they're trained volunteers. What type of training process is there, and how does one become a volunteer?
Well, first of all, we have an application process. You download the application, you send it in. Our operations manager usually will review the application, talk to the folks, and see what their interest is, and also what our needs are. When we train them, the reason we actually ask for a one-year commitment and at least 1 hour a month for the volunteers. Some folks will say, well, I want to do it for the summer. Unfortunately, it's just not worth our time to train somebody, for example, to produce the news. That requires, you know, training, and somebody has to be there with you to train you.
So there's broadcast training.
Yeah. So you get broadcast training. But, you know, Tom pointed out, it's not just about reading on the radio. We also have clerical functions. We don't have administrative assistants, for example. We have people helping us with mailings. We have folks helping us sending out the radios.
The blind people operate the control board when people are on the air live, and they also do the weather. It's done in Braille for them so they could read the weather while the live programming is on. So that's fantastic.
Let me ask you, are all of the readings done in the studio?
Yes, all of our readings are done in the studio.
Now, a question that seems natural to me is, with the technological advancements that we've made, is it possible that some of the readings can be done remotely and fed back to you?
You know, we're actually investigating that with a major corporation here in the state to see if that's something that's doable, because we're actually expanding our programming to reach out to children and Spanish-speaking folks who are blind or disabled. And, you know, this would be extremely helpful. So we're actually exploring that exact possibility.
Yeah, because I see that as a possibility, and certainly any organization or any company that is in that realm would be a great sponsor for something of that nature, because it would promote their product very well. The other thing I thought of was the possibility of, there's voice recognition programs, and I, imagine that there's textual recognition programs that convert to voice.
You know, that's true. Maybe, I don't know, Tom might be able to speak to that. But I don't know if you've ever heard of some of the software programs that do convert text online to voice, but it's computerized voice.
It is computerized voice.
And Dennis, you have a much nicer voice than
if I had the time, logistics are a little bit difficult, but I'd be happy to read for you.
He's a good reader.
Oh, another volunteer.
Another volunteer.
Now, as far
well, you could read down in Danbury or in Trumbull.
See?
Okay, there you go.
Because I definitely have to give him one more job.
Yeah, I don't have enough things to do.
No, I know.
I would like to just mention a couple things about the people that are eligible. Historically, most people think it was just for the blind, and initially it was because William Patton, the executive director at Services for the Blind, it was his idea way back in 1978, and then we went on the air in 1979. I was working there as the head of one of the departments. But we have to really reach out to the people that are physically disabled, and these people, their eyesight is fine, but they can't pick up the newspaper and turn pages. It's multiple sclerosis, people that can't use their hands to turn the pages or hold the paper. Parkinson's, people with arthritis, diabetic neuropathy, cerebral palsy, stroke victims. All these people are eligible for CHRIS services. And also, a majority of our people are over the age of 65 that receive our service.
Oh, okay.
How many subscribers do you have in the state of Connecticut?
You know, we have, it's a range between 4,000 to 6,000, because you can also receive CHRIS Radio online streaming at our website, which is www.chrisradio.org. And even though we are going to be relaunching a new web redesign with on-demand programming, you can hear it live right now streaming at that website.
We're going to take another break. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to continue talking with Diane and Tom about CHRIS Radio.